Tonight, my subject is knowing good and evil. That harks back to Genesis chapter 3. Knowing is not just a matter of intellectual perception. It's a matter of spiritual understanding. There are a lot of people who know a lot of things, but they have very little spiritual perception. I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5, an extremely familiar text, in which, in the Garden of Eden, the serpent, the mouthpiece of Satan himself, speaks to the couple in the garden. The serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now here, the master deceiver stands before this couple, who are innocent, in the very strictest sense of that term, newly created of God. And they don't understand his character. They have no acquaintance with him at all. He knows exactly what he's doing. He is intending to destroy the work of God. They don't know that. But he asks here this question. God knows something they don't. Knowledge is important. Here is the bait dangled in front of them. There's something you need to know. Very important. And God's holding something out on you. Now, the devil knows that they're going to know in a very different way than they're conceiving here. They're going to learn by experience that there's evil in the world and that they are part of it. He doesn't tell them all that. He just holds out the bait. And they fall for it. Yes, they're going to come to a knowledge of good, which they have suddenly lost, and evil, which they have surely found and didn't want to, really. But they took the bait and were caught. The devil is a master at this. He's done it to us all. He keeps doing it to all of mankind. Baiting the trap with something that sounds good. Something that we really ought to have. But the method is not godly. The method is ungodly. Get something that will make you like God. There's something irresistible about that thought. Of having something that only God has. Still works. The devil knows that the boomerang of sin is going to come back around and strike them down. But he has no conscience. He has no concern for them at all. Nor does he have any concern for you either. You are just simply individuals to be baited the same way. He's always won. He's confident he always will. But one day, he will fail. There is no shortcut to heaven. All of us must travel that same route through a pathway of sin, struggle, trials, adversaries. It's a hard pathway. We've all come to know the voice of the devil. All too well. He's very convincing. And we have taken the bait over and over and over again. We're suckers for his bait. In Psalm 9, David says something, and this is the voice now of a true believer, one who bases everything on God. In verse 10 of Psalm 9, David says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." They that know thy name. Oh, what an interesting expression. Know thy name. No, he doesn't mean Jehovah or Elohim, some name of that God would bear. But the name in the Old Testament is a reflection of the character of the individual. When the character changes, often the name will change. And you are familiar with different instances like that. Now, here David is explaining something that we all need to know. They that know God, that know his character, that know who he really is, these people are going to find that God is a tremendous redeemer and helper. In verse 2, David says, "I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high." Yes, he knows the name of God. He knows the character of God, and he bursts out into spontaneous praise. We can relate to that. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you know that feeling. How great he is. What a wonderful privilege it is to sing his praise. Wonderful privilege to be in a church that sings his praise. I've been in churches where they didn't. Oh, they sang all right. It wasn't to his praise. But how wonderful it is to know him and to be able to sing his praise because you understand who he is and what he has done and what difference that's going to make in eternity. They know the person of God. They have an actual knowledge of the creator of the universe. An awesome thought. But God has manifested himself in his word. He desires us to know. He has opened the reservoirs of knowledge. And it's not forbidden. It's not secret. It's published abroad. Anyone can come. Anyone can read. Anyone can share it with others. A wonderful thought that God is so generous with the knowledge of salvation and himself. In verse 9, the Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. That's wonderful for the believer to know that. There is a place to hide. Yes, in the shadow of the great rock, there is relief from the assaults of the devil. There is help in times of temptation and attack. How wonderful that is to know and to experience that. The Lord Jesus said, "No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will redeem will reveal him." Matthew 11:27. You can't really know God. We don't have the mental capacity for this. We can't really know him in the depth of his person. He is infinite. The one who does know him perfectly is the Son, Jesus Christ. He knows the Father perfectly. He is one with the Father. But he reveals to his people what God is like. God is like the Lord Jesus, who sacrifices himself for his people and brings his people into eternal fellowship with himself. And they never deserve it. He just loves them. Now, that is something the devil can't understand. He never could. It's something that's hard for us to comprehend. Because that isn't our kind of love. It's a divine love. A love that transcends all human categories. It's infinite. And we stand in awe of a God who could love like that. But it's true. And that's a little glimmer of his true character. what He is really like. We are awestruck at what we see. There is much, much more. In Psalm 46:10, God now says, "Be still and know that I am God." The voice of God Himself, a divine revelation. Too often, we clutter up our minds with words. We clutter up our lives with things. We're so busy running here and there, doing this and that. We have no time for God. And He says, "Be still and know something." All that busyness is not a help. It's a problem to deal with. In the still, quiet voice within, God reveals Himself. He calls to our attention verses from Scripture to remind us of what He is like. And as we think about them, we discover that He's present. He is not a God far away. He's in us and with us. And His Word, as we think about it, opens our minds to His thought. For this Word is His thought, an inspired gift. And as we meditate upon the words of Scripture, we hear the voice of God. And we discover His love and His compassionate care for His people. And the way He guides us down a difficult pathway. Oh yes, the adversaries are there, all about us and within. But His grace is sufficient, and His voice leads us in the Scriptures down that pathway. We need it desperately. Theological speculation is never a help. There are philosophers and theologians who write weighty tomes about the meaning of being and other abstruse subjects. They are far from God. Because God is a person. He's not an abstraction. He is real. And for the believer who's come to the foot of the cross and has seen the death of the Son of God as a gift from the Father to Himself, God is no longer an abstraction. He's very real. A God who loved me enough to send His Son to die, that I might live forever. That's putting it right down where we are, where we can understand that He is not like we are. We wouldn't sacrifice a child for somebody else, much less for an enemy. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died, that we might share eternity with a loving God. And knowing God becomes the most important thing in our life. In 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul says to Timothy, "From a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." It's the Scriptures that give us wisdom. The Scriptures that show us the pathway to God. It is not an abstract philosophy. It's obeying what God says in His Word. It's taking the promises of God and applying them to our own hearts and trusting in them for everything. It's simple. And there's no mystical thing that the devil would try to persuade us toward. It's a concrete faith in God's clear revelation. The Word of God says thus and so, and I believe it and stand upon it. If that's the truth of God, then I shall see Him face to face one day. If the Scripture is a lie, there is no hope, and there's no alternative. Life has no meaning. But Scripture shows us the meaning of life. God revealed this blessed book that we might know good and recognize evil. Yes, the devil just got it off a little bit. They're not of equal value. One is not as good as the other. Good is God. Good is His precious holy word. Good is the pathway that He summons us down to His presence. And the devil is always around somewhere, dangling the bait all about us. This pathway is better. This thing is more interesting. This person is more winsome. You know, the bait is everywhere. The devil is a master, and he lands so many poor fish. But friends, when you know this book, all those temptations have a hollow ring to them, because you know the voice of God. It's in this book. You have an affinity for that voice of God. The voice of the devil doesn't sound the same. And this is what you must develop, a keen appreciation for the voice of God, so that you may know good and avoid the evil. They're not of equal value. In Psalm 91, the psalmist says in verse 14, "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name." And here the psalmist is the spokesman for Almighty God. The individual who's come to the Lord and bowed the knee and claimed Him as his God and dwells in the secret place of the Most High, abides in the shadow of the Almighty. Yes, he hears the voice of God. It's in Scripture. And yes, he has a glorious future, because God keeps His promises. And God will indeed set him on high, because he has known the name of God. Once again, that's not Elohim, that's not Jehovah. It's the character of God, that God is holy, that God is loving, that God is omnipotent, and He can keep His promises. That is the basis of our assurance. It's trust in God, not ourselves, not those glib promises of the devil, not just vain hopes. It's the sure word of God, the God who cannot lie, the God who is truth, and who will lead His people to the truth that they will have forever. In verse 15, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." There is the promise of God. There is the assurance we have. There's nothing ambiguous about it at all. God says, "You trust in me. Dwell in the secret place in my presence. All this is yours, and much more than you can imagine. For none of us can understand the joy and the blessedness of being in the presence of God. We're far off from it now, unfortunately. And oh yes, we appreciate times of prayer. We appreciate times in which we have our devotions and meet God in His Word. That's very precious. But it's nothing at all like being right there before Him in the celestial realm, where we come to understand that we know good. God is good. There's no alternative for us. The devil gave a half-truth, and he destroyed a race by doing it, a monster of depravity. But he will get his. God is a just God. But in the meantime, we have a hard path to travel, and we don't see all that is there. We stumble over things. We encounter the old tempter again and again in different guises. But the policy is always the same. Doubt. Take the wrong road. Take something that looks attractive, but there's more there than he's saying. The trap is ready to spring. we must be wary and seek the grace and help of God, that He may protect us from going down the wrong pathway, choosing the wrong things. It's easy to do. We've all done it. But God is fully able to protect His people. We need to trust Him. In Psalm 119 and verse 125, David says, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Yes, here's the prayer of a servant of God. He wants to serve God. He doesn't want the wrong pathway. He wants to please the Lord of all. But he needs understanding in order to serve better. He's the spokesman for us all. We're all in that same plight. If you've trusted in the Lord Jesus, you want to be a good Christian and serve Him, you need understanding. You need guidance. You need someone to show you the pathway. And when we're listening to this blessed book, when we're listening to the Word, we gain that understanding and receive that guidance. It comes from the Scriptures. In verse 8, he is saying, I will keep thy statutes. O, forsake me not utterly. And in verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. The way is spelled out in the Word. And the voice of God instructs us from Scripture, leads us and guides us in the right pathway. He leads us to Himself. Now, friends, that is a pathway that we need to walk eagerly. We need to seek His face. We need to search the Scriptures to find Him there. In Psalm 19:7, you need not turn there. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Yes, those who take Him at His word, who trust His promise, simply trusting, they find Him. They find that He keeps the promise. The pathway is illumined because God shines the light of His presence upon that pathway. And what a blessing that is. But there's another voice. In Psalm 139 and verse 4, David says, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Now here is the voice of perception. It's slow in coming. But David learned there's nothing within him that God doesn't know. There are no secrets before God. All his weaknesses, all his sins. Yes, God knows them all. We can all say that for ourselves. We perceive that God's knowledge is infinite. But that's not just a horrifying thought. It's a blessed one, because the blood of Christ covers all sin. Friends, when you have come to the foot of the cross and received the Lord Jesus as Savior, the record is blotted out. And God Himself remembers those sins no more. The blood of His dear Son covers them, and the record is clean. That is grace, my friends. There's no way we can earn that. No way we could pay for it if we worked forever. It's a gracious gift of God, salvation full and free through Christ our Lord. And knowing this enlarges our perception of God. For God knows all things. Verse 5, the psalmist says, Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. The psalmist realizes his human limitations and how infinitely exalted God is. But this is a comfort to the psalmist. He doesn't have to know everything. He trusts in a God who does know everything. He walks humbly with him because God is the only one who knows all these things and has the power to accomplish his purpose in the life of each believer. Yes, we must know the devil for who he is, the great deceiver. He still dangles the bait. He still suggests that there's hidden knowledge that somehow we ought to learn about and God doesn't want us to know. None of that is true. It's all a lie. God wants us to know the truth. He is the truth. And when we know him, we know everything that is necessary. Knowing God is the reason the universe exists. Knowing God is the reason salvation is there. He is a loving God. Knowing God shows us that the pathway is through his dear Son, a pathway no one else would have thought of, but God did. When you stop and think of the microscopic significance that we are in the universe, and God loves us, you know, that is not a human idea at all. To think of how vast the universe is, and how obscure this one little planet is, and how obscure we as individuals are in this place, that does not make sense to us at all. But it did to God. He loved us. And there is no other explanation. He loved us. And he wanted to share eternity with us and bring us into his presence with blessing and joy and cause us to join the celebration of the angels in praising his greatness. No, there's no human logic in that at all. There's no reason for that. He could get along without us extremely well. But for us, that is our only hope. Without him, we're nothing. And he loves us. Knowing good, God is good. Good in such an exalted sense that we stagger at what he has done, saving poor, miserable sinners such as we are for no good reason. He loved us. That's beyond our comprehension. But it's a biblical truth. He loves us. And that in spite of the fact, he knows exactly what we are like. In verse 4 of 139, there is not a word in my tongue, but God knows it all, including every profane thought and every insulting comment that's ever been uttered. He knows it all. And the blood of his Son covers it all. He knows everything, and he loves us. That is infinite love, divine love, love that only God could shower upon his people. The psalmist understands all of that and sees it and expresses it for us. In verse 24, he prays, "See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." He knows he needs improvement. So do we. He knows that God understands all his sins, all his weaknesses, all his failures. And God loves him still. And he asks God to lead him in the way everlasting. That's what prayer is for all of us. We're asking God to lead us in that same way of everlasting, in full knowledge of who we are and all our shortcomings, and in the knowledge of how great he is. He is good, capital G. He is goodness personified. He loves us, and we don't deserve it. and we never will. But He loves us still. In Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet says, rhetorical questions. Hast thou not known? Verse 28. Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. Here is the voice of the prophet. He has divine perception that God has communicated to him. He understands how great the Almighty is. He puts it into words that we would have trouble forming. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Here is the promise of our God, sustaining grace, the ability to serve Him, to accomplish good things for Him, because it is His power and His wisdom and His grace that He imparts to His people. And He assures us there is victory. In Ephesians 3:19, Paul speaks about our need to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That was God's purpose. To take poor, miserable creatures, sinful beings, and by His grace and love, transform them into agents of His blessing and power. Examples of how great He is to take what is unworthy and without hope and transform them into servants of God, who with the angels will be serving God for all the eternal ages to come. Only God could have thought of that. Only God could have accomplished that. Friends, our goal is not knowing good and evil. Our goal is knowing Him. Understanding how great He is, how loving He is. Understanding what He has done for us. Opening up before us the vistas of all the eternities of the future. Welcoming us into His presence as He rules the ages and calling us His bride. He loves us, and there is no good reason except Himself. He is a God like that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. O Lord, forgive us that we forget how great Thou art. Forgive us that we become so enamored of things and responsibilities here that we fail to lift up our minds to Thy presence and realize how great Thou art, how tremendous Thy plan is. Help us, Lord. Guide our steps. Guide our thoughts. Encourage us indeed down that pathway of Thy will, that we may serve Thee diligently from the heart and praise Thy name, and by Thy grace live on to serve Thee and praise Thee forever, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen.